I want to talk to you guys this morning about what's coming up in December. I'm going to begin by asking you the question, how is it that we are helping our neighbors? And there are lots of areas in life where we come in contact with people all around us, our literal neighbors who live across the street from us, the people that we work with, the people that we serve in our businesses, at our jobs, wherever we happen to be, our family members. And God calls us to love and to serve one another and to serve our neighbors. And we do this in individual ways, like maybe you go over and help your neighbor rake his yard, pick up his leaves. Over the summer, William went over and helped the neighbor water his plants while the neighbor was out of town. You know, we do all these kinds of different things. But we can also help our neighbors together as the body of Christ, as a church. And I want to talk a little bit about the opportunity that we have coming up in December, on Saturday, December 13th, as we open up our doors and we host our Christmas give. The next few months, for everyone, are really busy, right? Because it's holiday season. We've got Thanksgiving coming up, and then the craziness that is Christmas, and it's a very full time. And we do have an event, so that adds to the fullness of what's going on. But it's an important time to point people to God and to bless others. It's a time of year that's hard on many people because they're wanting to do more, and maybe they can't financially, or just they're struggling in some way. And we are going to be here over the next 6 weeks getting ready for our Christmas give. And we're going to be using our Wednesday evenings, especially with the adults, to be organizing the gym and getting things in place so that we are ready to receive guests on that weekend. I was looking back this week because time just, everything gets blurry the older I get. So I don't know when things happened. Don't laugh at me, Jim. What? He said, just wait? Yeah. So I was like, how long have we been doing this? And I looked back, and the very first Christmas give that we hosted, we weren't even calling it the Christmas give back then. It was December of 2014. So this will be 12 years. This will be the 12th one that we've done. And many of you have been around for this, and there are a number of you who are relatively new and don't have a clue what we're talking about. You see stuff in the gym, and we've kind of explained what it's for, but I want to talk about the whole purpose of it. So just to start off with, could you mute the pads channel? I think I forgot to turn that off. You guys hear that? Thank you. All right. So we're going to start off with what we're doing. We, over the course of the year, collect household goods and clothing and things like that, and then we distribute to people in our community, our neighbors. And most of these things are donations that we've received, but there are things that we do purchase to give away. So there's a number of categories of things like coats and new clothing items and gift items. I'll show you some pictures here in a moment. But as you've seen, we collect things in the gym and we organize them. Now this is this past year's Christmas give is a picture of what you're looking at. This is probably about 9:30 or so. So we're probably close to half an hour into what's happening with the event and people coming into the gym to the various categories of items, and there are stations where people are set up to hand out items and whatnot. We serve coffee and donuts and sometimes juice and fruit, whatever happens to, whatever people happen to bring in, but primarily coffee and donuts is what we provide. And we try to just make it warm and welcoming and hospitable for people who are coming in, a place for them to just sit and eat if they'd like, although not a whole lot of people do that. We have a room that is full of gift items, and these are items to help families with their Christmas shopping. So the idea is, like, they would want to be able to give a gift to someone else. Now, obviously, we can't supply all of their needs with any of these categories. We can't meet every need that someone has, but it's a small way to say, here, let us help you out in some way. And so they can come in and pick a gift that they can give to someone else. We have a room full of coats and gloves and hats, warm weather gear. Lately, these last few years, these have been our primary purchases for the event. When we started this thing 12 years ago, the only thing that we spent was like $60 on donuts and coffee. And that's all we had. That's what we did. It was great. It worked really well. We're in a position now where we have some funds that come in that help us to buy other items. And so one of the primary things that we do is coats. And we give away a coat per family if we have their sizing and that kind of thing, or coat per household. We have new clothing items that come in over the course of the year, either are donated by individuals or donated from Walmart. And so that's a bunch of baby clothes that you're seeing laid out on tables back in the classroom. And then, of course, the main section over in the gym with clothing everywhere, underwear way on the far side, and then all the other items in between that you guys have been sorting throughout the course of the year. Now, I don't have any pictures of the parking lot per se, but that's also a great area of need and ministry as we try to figure out how to fit everybody who comes in onto the property somewhere, right, Jeff? Jeff was out there. Steve was out there last year. Ralph, I think you were out there. This is the line, maybe 9:30 or 10, and that's not the end of the line, but the line starts at the door and goes all the way up to the road and then back down the street. There are people who lined up last year at like 10:30 at night to wait for the doors to open. So it is quite an event, and sometimes I look around and I go, how in the world are we doing this? Like, wow, this is nuts. And this is not a pat ourselves on the back kind of session. This is just to remind ourselves this morning of what God has been doing, what he wants to do, and to open ourselves up to whatever it is that he's calling us to. We look in the scriptures, and we see that God repeatedly says that he cares about the poor and the needy, the orphans, the widows, those who are oppressed, those who are struggling, right? Like, just the prophets are full of examples where God is rebuking his people sometimes because they're not doing justice, they're not seeking mercy, they're not taking care of those in need. And in the New Testament specifically, you know, God talks about how we're supposed to be generous, that we are not to be hard-hearted or tight-fisted with what we have, but how we're to live with open hands and be ready to give freely as we have received. And so God, over the years, has enabled us to give, and he continues to enable us to give, and we want to do our best with what we have. Our processes are not perfect. It can be a little chaotic sometimes. We're always trying to get better at that with the amount of time that we have and the manpower that we have and those types of things. But ultimately, what we've been doing is a testimony to what God has opened up for us to do. And it's really cool to watch how he has empowered us over these last 12 years to be able to serve the community in this way. So would you turn your Bibles with me this morning to 2 Corinthians 9? We're going to start reading with verse 6. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Now, the context here is Paul, he's writing to the church in Corinth, and if you remember from our study of Acts that we just wrapped up, Paul was collecting contributions, funds, to take back to Jerusalem because there had been a famine in the area, and the brothers and sisters were suffering there, and as he was going around sharing the gospel with all the people, all of the Jews and the Gentiles in all these various regions, He is encouraging them to help out those who were suffering, their brothers and sisters, back in Jerusalem. And so he's talking in this section about that collection that he's taking up. And this is what he tells them. Verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered the gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Again, this whole section, chapter 8 and chapter 9, are talking about that collection that he is receiving. But he lays out some principles for their giving. First of all, he says that if you sow generously, you will reap generously. And again, this is the idea that we are eager and ready to give. And we want to be at a place where we're not feeling forced, but we're open to God and what he is leading us to do, and that we want to actually be generous and not like, well, what can I keep back for myself kind of idea. He tells them that they should give what they have decided in their hearts to give, and he's saying that this giving that he's asking of them is a personal decision. Like, he can't force them into anything. He doesn't want them to give reluctantly or under compulsion. He doesn't have any power to say, you better do this, you know, shake his fist or I'll, you know, or God will strike you or I'll strike you or whatever the case may be. It's an invitation to understand what God has given and then out of that give of ourselves. And it's not something that we can be made to do, but God wants us to be willing. It says, for God loves a cheerful giver. So I think about that in my own life as I offer offerings. Give to the church, or if I give to another organization or volunteer in some way. And I want to think that way when it comes to the event that we're holding in December as well, the Christmas Give. I don't want to just do it because this is what we do at Christmas time. You know, it's like that time of year to do it again. Oh, here we go. Let's gear up for this. This is just what we do. This is what we're doing in this season of our life as a church. It may not be what God has us do forever, but right now what God is providing is what we're going to do. And so I don't want to get in a mindset of like this is just the routine, but rather I want to be in a place where what we're doing, we're truly offering it to God and to other people from our hearts. It says here that God is able to bless you abundantly so that you will abound in every good work. In other words, like when I do good things, a lot of times that takes resources. I need resources to be able to complete the work that's before me, and it says God will provide those resources. The scripture he quotes from the Old Testament, he says, for it is written, he has freely scattered gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. And so it's talking about God's generosity. And I really like this word for poor here, because it's not the normal word for poor. Like most of us, when we think poor, we think someone who's like completely destitute, has nothing. And those people are kind of included in the whole idea. But really specifically what this word poor means is someone who has to like work for a living and has trouble like can't take a day off because I can't afford it kind of thing. Like I have to really kind of manage my stuff and live sparingly and hold down a job and watch where my finances go, because if not, I can't make it. That's the picture of what this word means. It's really neat, because in many ways, I feel like that's where a lot of our guests are who come in. They will have some things. They're not destitute. They may not even qualify for some, you know, of the government programs or the other programs that you see around our community, but they're kind of just getting by, and we're able to bless them in some way. And some of the things that we have are needs, and some of the things are just fun things that are wants. And I love that God cares about our needs and God cares about our wants. Has anybody, has God ever given you anything that you didn't really need but you kind of wanted? Like, that's fun, right? Like, that's really nice. And so we get to be an avenue for God to give in that way. And it's really kind of cool to be able to serve people. So it also says here in verse 10 that he supplies seeds to the sower and bread for food, and that he will increase your store of seed and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. So in other words, God is the one who supplies or covers the cost. He's saying, like, I want you to be generous, and oh, by the way, as you're being generous, I'll provide for you to be generous. And he says that we'll be enriched in every way so that we can be generous on every occasion, and the end result is that there's thanksgiving to God, right? So the idea is that God is providing seeds. God is providing what we need to be generous so that ultimately God can receive the thanksgiving. And this is exactly what I've seen play out over the last 12 years. Like, as we look at what God's been doing in the life of our church and through this event, God has been providing seed, and like we have this shared history, and I want to take a few moments to remind you of that, and then help us look to God and say, okay, God, what is it that you have for us going forward? Okay, so how did this whole Christmas thing begin? And how has God been providing the seeds for us to sow generously? We started asking ourselves, how is it that we can help the community? What are the things that we can do as a church that would be a blessing to others? It's not that we weren't really a blessing before, but we would hold events, and they were not bad events. They were fun events. They were great things that we did in ways that invited the community in, but they were generally geared toward, like, fundraising. And some of you will remember these things. Like, every year we would hold a silent auction. And we were, you know, at the time when it started, raising money to build that gym over there, to build the facilities, you know. And so we would hold a silent auction. We would barbecue chicken and have a dinner, and we would raise funds for the facility. A number of years ago, we were taking missions trips to Haiti, and we were looking for ways to raise funds so that we could go to Haiti. And so we put together a craft booth and went over to the 4th of July event that our city has, and we would try to sell crafts in order to raise money to go to Haiti. Again, very good causes, very good things that were happening. But at the same time, many of the interactions that we're having were geared towards, like, how do we raise money for things? And God kind of was just laying on my heart, like, those aren't bad and those don't have to go away completely, but I want to be known for a church that gives, not for a church that asks for money, if that makes sense. Now, don't get me wrong, we do need money for things. Like, we have to pay the light bills, and, you know, there are things that we need resources for. But primarily, like, if we're going to the community with an event, I'd rather it be us being generous rather than getting something back. And again, that's not really, like, I'm not trying to critique what had happened. What happened was good in its time and its season, but there was this shifting of, like, okay, we want to shift where our focus is. All right? So we just started asking the question, how is it that we can help the community? We had, you know, heard from a church a distance from us, that they held events, they would do, like, yard sales, but instead of, like, setting up a yard sale and selling things, they would just collect things and give them away. And we had been doing yard sales where people would come in and set up a table, and we would charge $10 or $20 for a table and raise a little money that way and whatnot, but, like, okay, well, what if we just did a yard sale, but we just collected things to give away and just gave them away? So we thought we'd try it, and we did it in August of 2014, and we were doing it in preparation for back-to-school type things, right? So again, it was like, well, what do we have to give? And at that point, we didn't have much. You know, it was like, there's not a lot of money in the budget. I'm not sure how to get this started. But what we do have is a bunch of other random stuff laying around our houses, and we could just collect them and bring them together and give them away. So that's what we did. And it went very well in August. And so we thought, well, let's do this again at Christmas time. And we were calling it the free sale. That doesn't really make sense, but we were trying to just get across, like, it's a yard sale, but everything is kind of free. And again, over those first couple of years that we did this, we were just collecting things that people would give us. And the only money that we spent on this was like $60 for donuts, and that'd be about it. When we first started, our goal was like connect with people who were close to us. And so we would print flyers, and we would go door to door through the neighborhoods around us, our street, and then the road here. And we would just knock on doors, and it was fun and really awkward because I'm shy and quiet. But you'd go knock on somebody's door, and they're like, what do you want? And I'm like, well, I'm inviting you to this thing where we're giving away free stuff, no strings attached, just come have some donuts and whatever. And it was really fun to see how welcoming people were over the course of years. Because at first, they're like, what in the world is this? But then some of them would come. And then by like the third or fourth year, we're knocking on their doors. They're like, oh, great, yes. Here, can you take this stuff? I can give this to you. And, you know, my daughter's been really looking forward to this. We're hoping you're doing it again this year. Like, and kind of building a reputation within the community that we're here to help and here to serve. We looked at other things to do around that time, and instead of just selling crafts at the 4th of July thing, Agnes had a wonderful idea that we could set up something for kids to do at the park on the 4th of July that didn't cost any money, that was free, and it would be a way to serve the community. And so the very first thing that we did was we had kids' colored tote bags, and we stuffed them full of kids' activities and little toys and trinkets and things so that the kids could have fun at the 4th of July event, and they would, just families would be encouraged to give them something to do. And so that very first year, we had kids' colored tote bags that said, Jesus loves me, and all scattered around the park were little kids with bags that said, Jesus loves me, and they had some fun things to do. And that took various forms over the years. One of my favorite years is the year that we did hats. And if you guys remember doing the hats, and the coolest story ever, because you know, like, you can lay a tote bag out on the table and color on it, and that's easy. But like, to color on a hat has a shape, and it's like, how are you going to make sure that kids can color easily on these hats? And I was talking to Agnes one day, and I'm like, well, really cool to have like mannequin heads or whatever, but I don't know how we'd get enough of them, and that just seems like crazy expensive and whatever. And you know, they're brainstorming all these different things that we could do for these hats, and then, you know, I don't know how long, a number of weeks or a month or so before the event, I get a call from Donna, my mother, and she's like, hey, go to the cosmetology school over there. They're donating mannequin heads. So we got 30 of these. And I keep this. The rest are packed up in the shed. Should we ever need them again? And we didn't do them like this. We covered them so they weren't so creepy. We covered them with paper, but then you could put the hat on them and the kids could color. But like, when you need 30 mannequin heads and God is like, here you go. I mean, like, how can you deny like the Lord's hand in it, right? Like, because this is absurd, but God gave us 30 of them exactly when we needed them. So if you ever see this sitting around, it's a reminder of the kinds of things that God does. All right. So fast forward to 2020, before the pandemic hits. All right, this is before. We don't know that's coming. You know, there's rumors of it in 2019. But we hold our Christmas gift, and all along the way, it's kind of growing and getting a little bigger. Not necessarily intentionally or like we're trying to get bigger, because bigger is not always better. But it just has been growing, and we've been supplied with some things. And, you know, eventually it's like, okay, what do we have to give this year? And one of our members at the time was connected with a very wealthy family in the city of Stanton. And this wealthy woman had collected all kinds of things. She had a number of houses and just collected things that she would then give away as gifts and just all anything you could think of, right? But she passed away, and because our member was connected with her, the family asked him to go through the houses and just clear them out. And so for a year or two, we were getting things that were coming from this lady who had passed that supplied what we needed to be able to give away at the Christmas gift. Things like Coca-Cola radios, like a pallet, basically, of Coca-Cola radios. Mink vests, like fake mink vests. You know, we thought, who will ever take these? But boy, people took them. Like, you know, it's just crazy the types of things that we've been receiving over the years. And we also had someone connecting with an outside organization and buying hats and gloves and things like that and having them there for us to give away. So because we were connected with this outside organization, it was called Good 360, and they would do like overstock type items or maybe things that were slightly imperfect but still good to use that we could give away. We were connected with them, buying products from them to be able to give away. Well, this organization called us up because we were on their radar and asked if we'd be willing to take a pallet of stuff. This is probably December 2019, early January 2020, somewhere in there. And we thought, yeah, that'd be cool. We'll take a pallet of stuff. It's probably overstock Christmas stuff they're trying to get rid of. We'll just put it in the shed for next year. We're good to go. So a number of weeks go by, and they call me to set up a pickup, and they say, hey, would you please pick up 6 pallets of stuff? And I'm going, well, I was having trouble like finding somebody with a pickup truck just to randomly go to pick up a pallet of stuff. Now I got to get 6 pallets. How am I going to do this? So that very first load, we rented a U-Haul, and French drove it for us, and he went over there, and we loaded up this U-Haul with 6 pallets worth of stuff. And I think that might be Vicky and French there. Vicky, were you here for unloading? Who is unloading? That's you, I'm telling you, it is. And then, so that was our initial 6 pallets of stuff that we got in the gym. All right? We thought it was going to be a one-time thing. And then they called us back a few weeks later with some more stuff and some more stuff. And you guys know we've been averaging about a pallet a week. It's not every week that we go pick up stuff, but when we do, it's 2 pallets. Or the hard loads are like the mulch loads, like come pick up a pallet of mulch or whatever. But just as that was happening, the whole world shut down in 2020. And we thought, here we are getting all this stuff. What can we do with it? And one of the things that we were getting at that time was extra food stuff. They were not allowed during the pandemic to give it to the food bank where it normally went, so they gave it to us. And we hosted several drive-through events because we couldn't let people come inside and break all the rules and all that kind of stuff. So we hosted several drive-through events over the course of that year and those months, like May, June, and July, I believe it was. And we gave away grocery items we set up out here in the parking lot and gave away food and stuff. And then going into the school year, we bought a bunch of backpacks, and we stuffed them with school supplies, and we had some food, and we gave them away to people, and we lined everybody up in the parking lot, and they drove through. All right? That was pretty fun. Leading up to this, as we're getting all this stuff in the first couple of months, it's like, well, we're kind of running out of storage space. We need some more space. And we've been talking about, can we afford a shed? We need a shed. We need another shed, something like that, you know? And it's like, well, we don't have any money for another shed. There's no way that's going to happen. And I get told one day, well, so-and-so has a shed that they're willing to give us. We would just have to pay to have it moved. Okay. So the world is about to shut down in March. I believe it was March 15th or something like that was the very last day that we had a service of 2020 before we were closed for a while. I already know that we need a shed. I already know that there's a shed available to us if we can pay to have it moved. But I'm going, Lord, I don't know what to do because I don't know what the next few weeks are going to be like. I don't know if we're going to have any money. Like, should I spend an extra $500 to have this shed moved? I don't know. Lord, we need an extra $500 to move this shed. Should we move it? Should we not? Help me to know, based on what comes in on Sunday, that offering that we're going to have, what we should do. So we have Sunday, and the offering was good. It was normal. It was God provided there. But after service that day, somebody comes up to me and goes, Pastor, I was really blessed this week. Is there anywhere you can use an extra $500? I've been praying all week, God, we need an extra $500 for this shed to store stuff. And God provided the extra $500. So things are, you know, happening that year. JCPenney closes down at the mall, and they're selling all their fixtures, their shelving, their tables, all this stuff. It would be really cool if we could get some of that, because we could really use some clothing racks. So I go out there and talk to the manager, and he's like, yeah, we can maybe work out a deal. I can see, you know, they're slicing the prices on these things as they get closer and closer to the end date. He's got my name, he's got my number, he's going to set up a time with me to talk it over when things get closer to figure out how much they can discount things, and we're trying to figure out what can we spend to buy some clothing racks. Like, the very last day that things are in the physical building out at the mall that is now torn down, I call, and the guy's like, oh, I'm not even there anymore. Someone else is in charge of that. You can talk to him. So I call him, and he's like, well, I don't know. We're, like, getting everything out today. If you come out, he's like, I can't even sell you stuff. We've put all, like, the cash registers and all that kind of stuff away. I can't even sell you that stuff. He's like, but if you come out, you can take whatever you can get out of the building by 12. And so we went out to Penny's. We called a bunch of people that we knew weren't at work at the time, and we went out to Penny's, and we looked at what was used. We tried not to be, like, greedy about it, but we looked at what could we actually use, what can we get out of this building by 12 or 11 or whatever time they had given us, and all the clothing racks and a couple of the shelves and stuff that you see down there, most of that was from Penny's. God gave it to us for free and worked it out. It was really a lot of fun. So, this is kind of where we started with the Christmas gift. That's one of the early ones. Again, this is that picture of last year and all the different things that God has provided. I've told this story a lot, but I like to tell it because it's fun. We started out collecting underwear, and we would ask people from the church to donate underwear because that was a very much needed item that people are kind of afraid to ask for, because who wants to go out and be like, I need underwear? So we started collecting underwear and praying that we would have enough underwear to give away at these events. And now we have an entire section of underwear that swallows Nancy, and she spends most of her time organizing. She needs help. Help her organize the underwear, please. That she organizes underwear. And again, I share all this stuff because I want to remind us what God has done and the ways that he's supplied seed. And that's how I look at this stuff, as seed for the sower. And we have opportunity to bless others with what he's given. And to be honest, from the very beginning, it really has cost us very little. Like, our time and our energy, some planning. But in terms of dollars, again, those first many years, I mean, probably the first, until we started really buying coats, we were spending $60, and that's what it would cost us. The money for the coats and things like that comes from a reinvestment of, so we give to Foursquare an extension tithe. So we tithe to Foursquare on the tithes and offerings that come into our church. And they turn around and they give us a large portion of that back, about 40% of that they give back to us, and they want us to use it to invest in church health and outreach type things, leadership development. There's some categories. We can't just pay the light bill with it, but there's some ministry type things that those funds are geared for, and that's what we've been using to fund that. So it doesn't come out of our normal operating budget. It comes out of those extra funds that are reinvested to us. And God is just opening up doors for us to serve. We get to partner with Him and bless other people. We get to meet their needs. We get to provide for some of their wants. And God grows us individually as we learn to give freely. He grows us corporately as we work together and serve alongside one another and problem solve with each other and go, just hand me one more pack of underwear quick, this line is long. Like those types of things, God blesses. And as we go into this season where we're getting ready, I just want to remind myself and I want to remind you that our number one goal here is to serve in love. Like, to really love people. It's not about numbers. It's not about how many people can we get through the door. I will quote some numbers sometime because it just boggles my mind that we're able to serve that many people with as few people as we have. But again, that's a testimony to God's graciousness and overseeing that process. More is not always better. Bigger is not necessarily better. We have this American mindset that's just more or bigger is better. And that's not necessarily the case. What is better is loving people well. So when people walk through that door, I want to see them for who they are. And maybe only have a very brief interaction with them as I hand them a gift to give away or as I make sure that they get a donut or something like that. But I want to actually be present with them and see them and have an opportunity to serve them well and be an encouragement. And one of my favorite things about this event is that we're not demanding anything in return. There are people who come to me and is like, can we offer you some money for this? Like, can we make a donation? I'm like, well, technically we're not allowed to, like, because of the agreements that we have through these donations. Like, we're not allowed to and we don't want to anyway. We would just want to bless you. We're not trying to get something out of people, but rather we're trying to give and show God's love. And what makes the event successful is whether or not we love others well, not did we give away everything, or did we do it as quickly as we possibly could. It's did we take time to bless someone, to see them for who they are, for who God made them, and be an encouragement to them. So it's gearing up for a busy season, but God has been in it, and God wants to work, and we want to look for opportunities not only to give things away, but to encourage people spiritually as well, to take time and offer to pray for them, to take time and just hear their stories. And in the chaos of a morning like that where there's a lot of people coming through, there's a pressure to just be efficient and get things done. But it's more important to connect with people and to serve them well. So I would ask that you be praying for us as we're getting ready, that God would give us just new insight and fresh vision for what we're able to do and how to serve people well, and that God would really bless those who come, who look forward to this event every year, to bring in their family and camping out overnight for, I don't know why, we try to encourage them to go home, but that's how important it is to some people, and we have an opportunity to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the midst of our neighbors and our community. So that's what we're about to do. Please be in prayer for us and come help us because we need lots of help. Wednesday evenings, I said the adults are going to be organizing in the gym. Saturday on that day, we'll need help very early in the morning. If you're an early morning person, I mean, most volunteers are getting here about 8, and that's okay. But if you want to come really early, I need help really early to help people in the line outside who show up really early. And parking and all those types of things. But yeah, come help us. It's a lot of fun. It's a day of service together, and God shows up in our midst, and we're really grateful for that. So would you pray with me today? God, I want to thank you for the many ways that you have provided for us and that you continue to provide. Lord, we want to do what it is that you want to do, and I pray, God, that we would hear from you as a body of believers, that we would see what it is that you're doing and that we would jump in and walk alongside you and just be able to marvel at the doors that you open. God, I pray that as we go through this next 6 weeks, that you would prepare our hearts to serve and to love well. God, I pray that as members of our community come in, that you would meet their needs and that you would draw people to yourself. Lord, that the things that we're giving away would simply be seeds that would grow and, Lord, just create a harvest of righteousness and a harvest of thanksgiving to you as the God who supplies everything that we need. God, I pray that you would help us to show our neighbors your love and that you would work through us using our hands and our hearts, Lord, to be a blessing to the people around us. God, we pray that you would be exalted in the things that we do and that you would receive all glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.